Well, children, welcome to our annual Day of Recollection. I'm very happy indeed to see you all, and I hope you're having a good Day of Recollection so far. To be recollected means, well, that means to collect our thoughts with our Lord, because usually our thoughts go all over the place. But a Day of Recollection makes us think about the things that really matter, God and my soul and Lent, sanctifying grace, and the Blessed Mother and the saints and my Catholic faith. So I hope this is a good day for you for some chance to think a little bit as well as to say some prayers with us. And if we make it all through Mass, then there'll be a nice lunch for you to have and some nice time for you to play before we come back into church to finish the afternoon part of the recollection. In today's Gospel, we read, "Then came to him the mother with the two sons." And at the end, our Lord says, "He that will be first among you shall be your servant." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, I was thinking yesterday, children, that very often we have our Day of Recollection on this Wednesday after the second Sunday of Lent, which means that we often have this Mass we're having today, and we often have this Gospel. And that's a good thing because, well, it's sort of a family Mass and a family story. And we have several stories today about a mother who brings two brothers to Jesus, who is, of course, the Son of God. She brings them to Jesus, and then there's some trouble. Well, the stories actually started yesterday. Yesterday was the feast day of a saint called Saint Matilda, and in English she was called Saint Maud, and she was a German queen who lived about 1,200 years ago. She was one of those saints who was raised in a convent. I'm not sure exactly why, but her grandmother was in charge of the convent. She was the abbess, it's called, and she was raised in the convent, only she didn't become a nun. She got married, and she was married back then, especially if you were from the royalty, your father chose who you would marry. So she got married to a German prince, and his name was Henry the Fowler, which meant that he loved going hunting with hawks. Did you ever see a hawk? You know, sometimes in March, you see these big birds around here. You can look out after lunch if you want to. And I thought they were hawks, but I think they're owls probably, but they come looking around for voles and mice and little things to eat. And when the cats were small, we had to be careful to keep them inside when these big birds came around. But people used to go hunting with hawks, and that's what Henry did, and he enjoyed it very much. And he and his wife, Queen Matilda, had a very happy marriage together, unusually so. And they have five children. And of all things, Saint Matilda is the patroness, the patron saint in charge of misbehaving children. So if you're one of those children who's known to misbehave on the odd occasion, you have your patroness in today. And this saint I'm telling you about, actually she was yesterday's saint. Well, she had five children of her own, and one of them did become a saint, and he's called Saint Bruno, and he was an archbishop, I think. And one of her daughters became a nun. But there were these two boys, brothers, her sons, that are the main part of the story. The oldest son was named Otto, and then the second boy was her favorite, and her favorite was Henry. And when her husband died, and it was time for there to be a new king, she wanted her favorite, Prince Henry, to succeed to the throne. Only it wasn't his turn, it was the turn for Otto. And Otto indeed got the throne, but I think that made for a little bit of bad blood. And then Henry decided he would have a revolt against his brother because he wanted to be king and have all the power instead. And Matilda, the queen, was devastated by that. And she did her best to make peace between the two warring princes and for everyone to behave himself. And she was successful. And she even persuaded her son, Otto, to make the other one, her favorite, Henry, to be the Prince of Bavaria. In other words, give him an important job, too, and maybe that would keep him happy. Well, the next thing that happened was extraordinary. Whenever I read about it, it always surprises me, but the two boys then ganged up against their mom, and they falsely accused her of wasting government money, embezzling or stealing it, in order to give it to the church and to the poor. It was like something you could almost think of happening today. And they put spies on her, and they made all sorts of accusations and ugly scenes. And it got so bad that Queen Matilda one day just left everything, gave up all of her lands and all of her money, and she went to live in a little house in the country. Well, soon after that, Otto, who is now the king, he got sick, and his wife realized we're being punished by God for the way we've behaved against Queen Matilda. And they said they were sorry, and they asked her to come back, and she did come back. Well, it didn't last for long, that peace. She's the patroness of misbehaving children. So Henry, a second time, had a revolution and tried to get the throne for himself. And no sooner was that over than his own people, they were the people of a place in Germany called Bavaria, revolted against him. Only he crushed the revolution very cruelly, and he even put bishops to death. He was a tyrant in his own right. But the main thing about the story is that she never gave up on her misbehaving children. She always tried to make peace. She always tried to bring them to Jesus, as any mother would. She was always praying for them, too. Well, when the time came for her finally to have a little bit of peace at the end of her life, Otto did respect his mother and did make her to be in charge when he went to Rome to be crowned the emperor by the Pope. So I think she had a happy death at the end. And then nobody minded towards the end if she gave away everything. And she gave away everything she could think of or put her hands on. I mean jewels and money and lands and everything to the poor. Because she loved the poor and she loved the church, and she would found convents and monasteries. And at the very end, she's dying, and she says before she dies, I give away everything I have left. I give away everything in this room to the poor. And they said to her, well, excuse me, Your Imperial Highness, but you already gave it away. And actually, there's nothing left that you haven't given away except for the sheet on your bed. That's the only thing left. And you know what she did? She said, well, I give the sheet away. But they said, well, you're going to have to keep it, because that's what we're going to bury you in. Because back then that was called having a burial shroud, like our Lord had a burial shroud. It was a linen sheet. And so she said, well, send it to my grandson, the archbishop. He was archbishop of somewhere in Germany, her grandson, because he'll need it before I do. She knew that he was going to die. And 12 days later, sure enough, he very suddenly died. And sometime after that, St. Matilda died. And I think she went straight to heaven on account of how good she was and how much trouble she did have with her misbehaving children. Now, in today's Mass, remember during Lent, children, each Mass has, if you follow the Mass in your missal, you can maybe see it there if you have a daily missal. And it says, stationed at St. Cecilia across the Tiber. And that means the church in Rome where the Pope used to go, and they had a procession and a litany to get there, and then they offered the Mass solemnly there. And wherever the Mass was said, that influenced the kind of a Mass or the lesson that the Mass was going to teach us still today. So today they went to the house of St. Cecilia, which got made into a big, very beautiful church. Remember, she's the patroness of sacred music, and in general, of all music and the arts. So if you're having trouble learning to play the piano, or to sing, or to draw a beautiful picture, you'd pray to St. Cecilia. She is the patroness. And she, just like Matilda, brought two brothers to Jesus. Her parents wanted her to marry a pagan, and she had already married our Lord. She was a spouse of Christ. And she wouldn't. And she said, I can't, because I have an angel that guards me. That's what she told Valerian, who was supposed to be her husband. And then Valerian said to her, well, you have an angel that guards you? I'd like to see that angel. And she said, well, you couldn't see him unless you got baptized. And he said, well, I want to see the angel. So he went to see the Pope about taking catechism classes, and he got himself baptized. And when he was baptized and he came back to see his erstwhile bride, Cecilia, who was the bride of Christ, truly, what do you think happened? He saw a beautiful angel. And it's a family mass, remember? What was the first thing he thought of after that? He thought of his brother. He thought, oh, my brother has to see this. I have to bring my brother to God and to Jesus too. And sure enough, he went and he found his brother, and his name was Tiburtius, and he told him all about it, and he got his classes, and he got baptized, and he got to see the angel as well. And then the Romans got wind of it. There were too many angels being seen for it to stay a secret for too long, and they, all three of them, were put to death. And St. Cecilia, this is interesting, she was executed with a sword. I think three times executioner sliced her neck, just right here. And then, exactly the way she died, because she stayed alive for quite a while afterwards, before she did finally give up her soul to God, exactly the way she did die, they buried her. They didn't touch her or anything. They put her in the tomb exactly that way, in a coffin made out of cypress wood. Well, she stayed there, incorrupt, for all of these centuries, from about the 3rd century till the end of the 16th century, when they were doing some work on her church, and I think making it bigger and more beautiful, and they found her coffin, and so they opened it up, and there she was, exactly the way she looked on the day of her death. And this was the year 1595. Imagine that, a beautiful miracle. And so one of the ones that saw her was an artist, and he was a sculptor, and he made a sketch. And then out of marble, he sculpted a beautiful statue of how St. Cecilia looked in the tomb. And that's how we know what she looked like. And that was just one more miracle that our Lord worked. But then once everyone got a chance to see the miracle, the body did not remain incorrupt, but because of the air, it fell into dust after a few days. Now finally we're at the gospel. Are you still with me? So now we're at the gospel, and there's a mother who's bringing, guess what? Two brothers to Jesus, yes. And the mother is Salome, and she's a little on the pushy side, as some mothers are. Well, but she was Jewish after all, and Jewish mothers are especially pushy about their kids, and they want them to have every advantage, you know. Well, she wasn't a bad woman. In fact, she was very brave, because she was with the Blessed Mother when Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, and she also went to the tomb early on Easter Sunday. But she had this idea that she wanted her boys, James and John, who were already two of our Lord's three favorite disciples, to be able to have the best seat in the kingdom, which means having a very important and honorable job in the kingdom. Only she and her sons didn't understand really what that would mean. And our Lord says, well, can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? To drink the chalice, you know, a father drinks the chalice at Mass, that's our Lord's precious blood. That means to share in our Lord's sufferings. That's why today's gospel starts with our Lord telling about everything that he's going to suffer. Can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? And they say, oh, yes, we can, but they're not really thinking about what they're saying, as sometimes people don't. Well, the apostles get wind of it. They hear what's going on with the mother, and they all get angry, and everybody starts arguing like children would. Me first. No, I'm first. No, I'm better than you. I get to be closest to our Lord. And that's when our Lord stops them all, and he corrects them, and he says, look, the most important person in the room is the one who serves. Not the one who is served, not the one who has a fancy title, or even the purple buttons or stuff. It's the one who serves. That's the most important in my kingdom. And so that's how Salome brought her two sons, two brothers, James and John, to Jesus. Now, who should Salome remind us of? Who should St. Cecilia remind us of? Well, Salome was a saint too. And who should St. Matilda remind us of? A little bit our own mother, as well as the Blessed Mother. Think of the Blessed Mother, this very great queen who loves us all, and she's your mother, and she brings you to Jesus. But then also think of your mother. If some, perhaps for some of you, your mother actually brought you to church today and brings you to church all of the time. And then she brings you to Jesus by teaching you about him, making sure you say your prayers and do so much more. Your mother and the Blessed Mother, both of them, in different ways, take care of you. They feed you. They protect you. They clean you up when you get dirty. And they clean up after you when you make a mess. And if you make a mess with God, they help you to make peace with our Lord, to get things right and straightened out again. They keep you in body and in soul. How much we should love our own mothers, children, and how much we should love our Blessed Mother, and never should we say or do anything that would grieve them. We should never be like those wicked sons of St. Matilda who caused her so much suffering, but rather we should show our gratitude by our respect and be very devoted to the Blessed Mother. Since we're dedicating this day today in some special way to Mary, I'm wondering, is there something you could all think of to show your devotion to Our Lady? Maybe if you're not wearing your brown scapular, you could start wearing one. Maybe if you're not saying your rosary every night with your family, you could say some of the rosary by yourself at least at night before you go to bed. Keep a rosary by your bed and say at least a decade. Maybe if you're not doing it, you would remember your three Hail Marys to Our Lady first thing in the morning, last thing at night. I know I say it a lot, but it's a very important thing not to forget. We should be grateful to our Mother and our Blessed Mother for a lot of things in life, but most of all, because they bring us to Jesus. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.